Welcome, welcome to Fashion Unfiltered. I am Donna M, your host and owner of Donna M Collection Lifestyle Brand. Today's episode is all about building your business confidence and inspiring your fashion journey. So with us today is the business credit guru, finance expert, and founder of Biz Credit Bills, Ms. Sarah Sabastro. So welcome to the podcast, Sarah.
Thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to be on.
Absolutely. You know what? This is a topic I think that we don't talk enough about. And so I am excited that you are here so we can, you know, get people aware of what's out there, you know, especially business owners. So I'm excited. So I'm going to start by saying no pain, no gain. And I'm saying that because I got an opportunity to actually hear your story on another platform you were on.
Oh.
And yes.
Definitely have a story. Listen.
And it was definitely your, I guess, experience or some of the unexpected life changes that took place, you know, during the early parts of your life. And so I want you to share a little bit about that with us because, you know, everybody knows you as the Biz Credit Guru. Everybody knows you as this finance expert, but
I wasn't always that person. Listen, it is, first of all, it's an honor and a pleasure to share my story because so many of us define ourselves as so many things, mothers,
right,
wives, entrepreneurs, businesswomen, you know, family, people, sisters, brothers, you know, we have all types of hats that we wear.
Right.
But when we're going through real life struggle, what we don't share is how it got there, because we weren't always those people. Those were things that God had to impart into us.
Right.
And for me, it was hard. I grew up I grew up in a hood, a nice hood, because my mother and my parents always taught me it's not where you live at. We always lived in a nice house, just not in
right,
this neighborhood, right?
Right.
And right, because my mother was gonna make sure we swept up our front porch. I mean, mm-hmm, we grew up in Baltimore City. I'm originally from Allentown and I'm Puerto Rican. So Puerto Rican family, six brothers and sisters, like we were those people. And for uh-huh, me, we didn't have very much. I remember my mom coming to Baltimore with a bag of clothes and mm-hmm, my father at the time had, he had been traveling and doing some professional boxing, but like my mother was breaking habit. That's why we came here. And mm-hmm, I remember like, she's the reason why I love God so much, because
right,
he broke her habit. Like literally me and my sister and my brother nursed her back to health while my father was being an entrepreneur and mm-hmm, didn't know anything about entrepreneurship. And for me, again, I can only talk from my personal experience, but
right,
we didn't have nothing and we made the best of everything. And when we got here to Maryland, I didn't know what God's plans were. I was mm-hmm, in elementary school. As I became an adult in Baltimore City, things were hard.
Right.
I went to Baltimore City Public Schools. My mother did the best that she could with what she had.
Mm-hmm.
She did a great job. Like, she kept us in church. She never went back to addiction. And my father worked hard just to make sure that we had enough.
Right.
Didn't have everything, but we had enough.
Exactly.
Me personally, I became a mother. I graduated off stage pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize I had ADHD, so it took me about 5 to 6 years to get a 2-year degree.
Mm-hmm.
Because these were personal goals of mine. And for me, I was like, I don't care. I'm going to do it. People used to
right,
girl, are you still in school? Yes. And not knowing that it just wasn't for me. I always was a people person, and in growing up, I literally found myself like having my own apartment and a job. I was like, oh no, I'm not living like this. I wanted more for myself, and not that my mother didn't give me enough, right?
Right.
But I always was drawn to nice things at a very early age, and mm-hmm. I'm very goal driven. But when my parents did teach me about financial literacy,
right. I
didn't know anything about credit.
Right.
And I was gonna get it on my own, I don't care. And I had an apartment at 17 years old. I had a baby. I was going to school full time and working a full time job. Mm-hmm. I thought I had this on lock, y'all.
Right.
And boy, was I wrong. I literally became a single parent before my child turned one. And mm-hmm. I was out here just determined to get it. I didn't care. My first career, I was, I started as a CNA, GNA, front desk, like answering phones at a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Graduated as an LPN. But again, it took me about 5.5-6 years to get a 2-year certification and degree.
Right.
I just always thought it was me. I'm going to tell you, C's get degrees. And for me, I was just glad that I was making it. I didn't care that I had eviction notices on my door and all of
mm-hmm.
that. Like, I was just making the best with what I had.
Right.
Ultimately, because I was so desperate to be successful and to win and to live comfortably and to have stability, I ended up marrying someone who was financially stable.
Mm-hmm.
And he moved me to one of the richest counties in Maryland. And I had the house on the hill. I lived, you know, I drove S550. Like, I literally had all the Chanel bags and all of
right.
the things. And I was able to transition from being an LPN, like, you know, a nurse helper, to essentially I was able to get my RN, and I was just like not satisfied. I was still
mm-hmm.
And I was miserable. My marriage didn't last very long because mm-hmm. He was verbally and mentally abusive, and I probably would have been miserable for the rest of my life.
Right.
Christ, like, I just knew I wanted more out of
right.
life. And I was already, God gave me a taste of what I could potentially have and how comfortably I could potentially live.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say I became depressed, I became very closed, I became very miserable because I had this man who I wasn't happy with. I had everything you could think about, and I could swipe and it goes through, and he takes care of mortgage and the car payments. And,
right.
But I was just miserable inside. And for me, I don't even think that it was no fault of his, because it was just a place where I was at personally.
Right, right.
It drew me, that desperateness drew me to the hands of a man. I got married like very early. I just mm-hmm. was so pressed to be happy. I was mm-hmm. so for it, and that wasn't it. So I end up divorcing and having a real conversation with God, like, this cannot be it. This cannot be my life.
Right.
Fortunately, through my marriage, my ex-husband, he was in the IT field. So he worked in a SCIF for the Director of National Intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the IT field, and he owned an IT business that I helped him start. And he taught me about IT. So I was able to get some certifications.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just remember, he was very mentally abusive. Like, I know people who have their masters who can't pass this test on their first try. And me, I was very goal driven. So you're not
right.
telling me that I'm not going to do something. I can remember, like, getting like I had my PMP, so getting like how to pass your PMP on the first time. Mm-hmm. Whenever he would be at work, because I had the liberty of staying home now and concentrating on just working on myself. That's all he
right.
Did. So for me, I open up that book and study, and I passed the test on the first try. And then I'll come to him. I was looking for validation, like, look, what I have, because you know, all of his friends' wives were doctors and lawyers, and I had a degree, and it took me forever. And then I had this stigmatism of, oh, I have ADHD. I need, like, I can sit down, but I can't focus. I mean, the devil was really busy.
Yes, yes.
So for me, I end up passing, and he put me on a contract. He was able to bless me and put me on one of his contracts. And then, like, I was like, okay, I can do this. And then while he was at work, because he didn't have access to the outside world, he would teach me how to resolve issues with his mm-hmm. clients. And then I went from there. I got my security plus, and I got my network plus, all mm-hmm. of the certifications. And I went from making like literally $16 to $17 an hour at the time, which most people thought was a lot of money.
Right.
Yeah. To making $75 and $100 an hour.
Wow.
So it exposed me to some things. I'm like, okay, let's take this to another level.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that things weren't working out, and I was, it was just basically God's way of giving you everything. And sometimes he takes it all away to remind us to trust him. So
that's true.
I just couldn't take it no more. And we end up separating, and I was on a contract that he was on.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I didn't sign an NDA because I was his wife. So
right.
So I was blessed in that sense. So I remember him serving me papers on, I was working for a big corporation at the time, and I had been on a contract for a couple of years, managing about 179 individuals. And I just remember, like, oh my God, like, he's gonna take away how I make money, and
right.
how am I gonna survive? Like, no house, no nothing, because I didn't have anything in my name and I didn't have credit. So the good thing was that he won this contract because of me.
Right.
To the contract, I built his business credit for the contract. I essentially even did a little bit of work, subcontract, a little work from Dun & Bradstreet and Experian Business. So
mm-hmm.
I learned the algorithms and how business credit works. And as a result, I was able to ethically build his
mm-hmm.
And help him win some contracts. But I was working on a contract. So when he served me, I remember my director coming to me and saying, Sarah, someone's here to see you. And I was like, I'm not expecting anybody.
Right.
It was a process server. He served me paperwork. And I remember acting like I knew the person mm-hmm. and walking them outside. And I grabbed my keys and sat in my car and cried.
Wow.
I was so, like, confused as to what I was going to do, because I knew it was coming, but I didn't know how.
Right, right.
So, I remember my boss coming and knocking on my car window and was like, you are a manager here. I need you to grab yourself together. And she handed me a card for a divorce lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was like, I want to remind you that you could come back from anything.
Right, right, right.
So I got myself together, and she was like, you sure you don't want to go home? I was like, no, I'm going to work this day out. By the mm-hmm. day, and people, God plants people in your life for a reason, I remember.
That's true.
She was African. She came, and she was like, you don't have an NDA on file. And I was like, I was like, he already called the top office and asked us to let you go as one of his employees.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I made a request to hire you permanently because you're not on that contract and NDA. I can just offer you a permanent position and I'm gonna pay you $50,000 more.
Wow.
And I was like, what? Like,
wow.
What is this? I was already making about $120,000 there and she's offering me $50,000 more. I'm like, what is going on here? So I was able to learn. She was like, this is what he's billing you at. So he was paying me at $180 an hour and he was paying me $75 an hour.
Wow.
My own husband. So I learned very early on about business. Then she started talking about contracts. She was like, I need you to learn how to do contract. And what I end up becoming was their business consultant.
So, okay.
So for me, God knew what he was doing.
Right.
Planting those seeds. And I was like, okay, now I have to, like, I was super embarrassed about my situation. Because oftentimes too, we want to show face for people.
Right.
And God broke me, when I say all the way down, where I, it was about 6 or 7 months into my, like, him serving me paper when we were going to divorce proceedings, and my mother would visit me and she'd be like, how's everything? She'd be like, where is he? I was like, he's working. Like, it would just, it became normal.
Right.
See, and then God was like, I need you to let people know about your story. And I was like, are you? No, like, absolutely not. To them, I got it together and let's keep it that way. I'm a live this one out by myself.
And right.
Because that's what we are. We let our pride get in the way of certain things, and we don't allow ourselves to just let our hair down and be a mess.
Right, right. That's a good word.
Listen, it's okay to be a mess.
Uh-huh.
Keep moving. And I definitely, when it hit me a few months later, I was about 5 to 8 days I couldn't get up out of the bed.
Wow.
I had like a real conversation with God. And I'm actually in the middle of writing a book on how me and God have conversations, because God, like, I can't do this anymore. And it was in those darkest moments where I found him asking me to trust him.
And right.
To, he reminded me that, listen, I would never take anything away from you without blessing you with something better.
Wow, that's a word.
Listen, and if you don't take anything from my story, I need you guys to take in, you can come back from anything.
Right.
Start over if you have to. I don't care what the circumstances are. And it was one of the most loneliest times in my life, but I was able to, one, get closer to God.
Right.
Two, learn about God and faithfulness and his supernatural powers, because like I say, he always has a way of blessing us and us not even know it. When I say he lined up the plays, he lined up the plays. After that, I remember going to the bank. I was like, I had already written goals, put them in my Bible. I was like, okay, I don't want to move my kids from this school system, because God, you promised me that you won't keep me. So I remember going to the bank, applying for a mortgage, and the lady laughed at me. I went to Navy Federal, older white woman, and I got in there and she was like, I can't help you. And I was like, you will help me. And I started crying. I remember her getting up and coming back in and her saying, I don't know who sent you, but like, oh, this is not okay. And I said to her, listen, I have been saving my money for 6 months, have over 20K. I need to move into a house.
Right.
And God told me, come here and apply, and you want to help me. And I remember the lady was like, man, you don't have any credit. This lady don't know me from Adam. put me as an authorized user on 3 of her credit cards, opened
wow.
a $25,000 credit card, and was like, I need you to call this realtor. I was like, okay. So I went to go see the realtor.
Wow.
In 45 to 60 days, I closed on a house 5 minutes up the street.
Wow.
When I went to the realtor, I had a budget. I was like, listen, I don't want to go over $200,000. She was like, we're in Howard County. Where you going to live at? On the side of the road? I was like, I could live in a little condo or apartment. She was like, no, that's not what we're doing. Your pre-approval came back at $500,000. You're just fine. Like, just the supernatural power wow. of God. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to say, I went in there with a 550 credit score, and they closed. And when I went to closing, mm-hmm. they didn't charge me any fees.
Wow.
They ate their fees. Navy Federal did my mortgage with Churchill, and the broker, Jody, I still do mortgages through, she was just like, Sarah, I just don't know. Like, we've never done this for a client.
Wow.
But when I say, when God has something for you, no one can interrupt.
That is
that part. True.
Yes.
So things just started coming into play. I started working a regular job, and all of his friends are now like, hey, Sarah, can you do a contract for me? Like,
mm-hmm,
can
mm-hmm.
you build business credit? And out of that was born my business. But it definitely, listen, sis didn't know nothing about financial literacy, credit, mm-hmm. anything. And when I left everything. I even like called the cleaning lady to come clean his house up. And we went through divorce. I was like, nah, I'm good.
Right, like, right.
Literally, because I was just blessed to have the opportunity, and I'm forever thankful. Sometimes we get bitter out of experiences.
That's true.
And we gotta stop holding on to that. Those kind of things store up, and we don't, deep down inside and on the outside, like, no, I'm not bothered. Yes, you are, sis.
Yes, you are. Yes.
Let that go. Like, it takes away from other things that God wants to bless you with.
That is so true. I mean, you're saying, I mean, it's just so much things that you're hitting on. Is like, where do I begin with all of this? Because one of the first things you mentioned was that, you know, we're not taught about credit.
And no.
Yes. And unfortunately, that's how we make a lot of mistakes. You know, and we don't even realize this until years later. It's like, you know, I could have been in a better position. Or you just finding out these things later on in life. And it's like, you know, but you said something. You said, even though you guys didn't have much, your mom, your parents did the best with what they had. And that's exactly the lifestyles that we grew up into. And so we take on those same types of lifestyles, our mentalities, because they only can teach us what they know.
Exactly.
And if they don't teach us, then we're not gonna know. And so we won't be able to pass it on to our children. And so I just think that, you know, whatever the devil, and this is what came to my mind as you were talking, you know, it's so true. Whatever the devil meant for evil, that, you know, God always turned it into good. He always does. And as you said, each step of your journey, each step of that, your situation, there were people there already lined up. You that just wouldn't know it.
That part. And he does it every time. Like, when I say, when you build a relationship, when someone takes you from, like, shows you who they really are, and God mm-hmm. was like, listen, just follow me, and I will make sure you good.
Right.
I was like, okay? Like, are you kidding me right now? Like,
right.
How are we doing this?
And, right.
And when I said, it was a constant reminder, because everywhere I went, because I stayed in his word, and I'm not the most Christian person. And that's another thing, we take, especially women, we feel like, oh, I can't be too religious. I'm young. I'm young. Listen, I like to have a great time. I like to dress up. I like to spend time with my friends. I like to... Religion doesn't box you in.
Exactly.
And it's okay. Like, for me, it's important for people to know that you don't have to have a skirt going down to your knees.
Exactly.
And be in the Bible church 5 days, 7 days a week for you to have religion.
Right.
It's a real relationship with God.
Exactly.
And that is what drives your lifestyle. Because when you close to God, then listen, when you show up in a room, your presence alone.
Right. Like,
You are known by your fruit, but your presence alone introduces you before you even get in there, sis.
Absolutely.
When I say he makes people uncomfortable for you, I don't have to dismiss anybody. You know, you walk into the room and then all of a sudden, oh, I gotta go. Bless you. Like, I don't have to. And when I say he aligns things, he always has perfect timing. But I want you guys to know that, you know, in his kingdom, there are no perfect people allowed.
Right. That's right.
Period. No perfect people allowed.
And you said something else about how pride gets in our way. And oh my gosh, I mean, like they say, pride, you know, pride comes before the fall. And
yes.
So, you know, we have to learn how to, like you say, let your hair down and just be a mess.
Yes.
Because, right, God can't use you if there ain't nothing going on with you. So it's like,
let me do it.
And cannot use you.
And the being okay with being beautifully broken. And what I mean by beautifully broken is that, like, listen, and I tell this to my peers and to my family all the time, like, catch the lesson. Like, if you are consistently going through something, see, you ain't got to tell me twice. You know how people, oh, they got to go through things a couple times before they're like, nah, I'm not ever doing this again.
Right.
All you got to do is teach me once, God. Listen, I grab my Bible and my journal and I'm like, okay, God, please help me reflect in third person and see what you was trying to teach me. Because we move so fast that we don't even enjoy what God has blessed us with.
Right, right.
Time, just being life, our families, opportunities. Like, we so pressed and move so fast that we like, oh God, like, I don't even remember. It moved so fast. It was a great event, but did you stop? Were you present?
Right.
That is
so true.
Yeah, we move so fast that we don't stand still in anything. So, so I mean, like, I would encourage each of you guys that are listening to this podcast to stop and be present. Catch the lesson. Because sometimes we be bluffing off and pushing off people that God's gonna bless us.
Oh my. Even recognize,
right,
when people are helping us, when that person is actually there to help us or to get us through a situation. It's always like we're looking at it from a different perspective. Oh, you trying to take from me, or you trying to hurt me.
Well, pride. Remember, you mentioned it earlier. We let the pride get in the way of getting the lesson taught. Like, sis, this is not about you.
Right, right.
And I learned very early on that you cannot possibly be able to grow in anything. If even as a leader, right? Like, it's something that is naturally in me, but learning to say, you know, God, teach me how to step into these positions, or teach me how to learn from whoever you send to me.
Because right.
That you should be always open to be learning, but like, sometimes we miss it because we being prideful, like, nah, I'm gonna be quiet over here. I don't feel like participating, or it wasn't for me what they said. How do you know this? Someone comes to bring a word, you too busy you know, talking all day on the phone and YouTubing all day or Facebooking all day that you can't even stop to receive a word. You send a sister voicemail. You're trying to bring you a word. Like, no, seriously. Like, we do it all the time. It's human nature.
Uh-huh.
It's human nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, with social media, you know, it's the way of life. And unfortunately, it's ruined. I'm gonna say it has some disadvantages because we don't pick up the telephone anymore. You know, and I'm not saying anything is wrong with these things, but you know,
we stop being personal. Yeah,
mm-hmm, right.
Even myself, I find myself sometimes, and I say it all the time, like find myself sending a text, and then you know, God gives you that. You know, that little tap on the shoulder, like, erase that, pick up the phone and call.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, and it's not intentional, but it's become our lives.
Right. Exactly. Yes, I think I have this, I don't remember what it's called, but it tells me how much time I spend on social media. And the very first time I received that notification, it said I was on social media, I think Facebook, like 8 hours. I'm like, no ma'am.
Yes.
This is
we don't know this. We don't know this. And I mean, like, as business owners, like, this is how we make money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even me, I tell my husband all the time, he is not a social media person.
Right.
Uh-huh. But he respects that. That's how I touch a lot of people, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So for me, it's always the, he's always like, you know, like, how long were you on there today? Do you even remember? And like mm-hmm. you said, then you look at that, you know, it's on our, on our iPhones, it measures how long you've been.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yes.
You've been on the phone that long? Yes. Without you even doing it, knowing it. It's unintentional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. But, you know, I guess as we go on, when you know better, you just
do better.
You know better, you do better.
And seriously, though, the recognizing that, that's the first step.
Right.
No one is perfect. And you guys, like, I am constantly reevaluating things that occur or happen to me and trying to fix it. Okay, so this was what I did this week, and okay, I'm gonna have to change this because this
right.
is so
right.
I feel bad about it.
Right. That is so true. Because there was a point in time, I was in, oh my God, I don't know how many groups I was in, but I would post in these groups and I realized, I'm like, this is a lot of time. It's like, I'm spending more time posting in these groups than I'm doing other things. And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna have to let this go. So I don't even post in those groups anymore. I'm like, if they like the post, they like it. If they don't, they don't.
and not feeling bad about it. Because right. like me, like, you know, society has us feeling bad about those things to the point mm-hmm. where I had to hire somebody to do my social media, especially like I'm in a season of stillness.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved to another state. So I've been really into just working and writing and doing all of those things. And as a result, like, you know, sometimes we get so wrapped up
right
in social media that we're not taking care of what we supposed to.
That is so, oh my gosh, that is so true. That is so true. So I'm gonna switch gears here, because, you know, like I mentioned, it was just your adversities that, you know, brought you to the point of where you are. You know, you have this business, Biz Credit Bill.
Yes.
And all of that was as a result of, you know, the things that you went through. So talk to us about Biz Credit Bills. You know, what exactly is that, and, you know, what do you do?
So Biz Credit Build is a company that allows you to help build business credit. We offer a business credit suite program, an educational platform where we allow and help you business owners like everyone, entrepreneurs, to build their business credit from scratch. Mm-hmm. And most times when people offer these platforms, they leave out the educational piece. So for me, my program is a hands-on program where we have a large customer service team that kind of keeps their foot on your neck. So, because oftentimes we invest in these programs, but then we sit on it. We're excited for the first 2 or 3 weeks, and then we like, nah.
Yeah.
But being honest and truthful about like business credit being, it's not something that happens overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's what you put into it. So
right, right.
You have videos of me, modules, and just I'm educating you on the principles and foundations of business credit. As a result, I have also over 160 lenders and vendors that that extend to my people more business credit than others.
Okay.
Because of my relationships with them and because I do lending. We also do business financing. So once you finish the program, then I hold your hand through the business credit financing portion, whether it's a vehicle, whether it's a house that you want to buy in your business name, whether it's you want to flip a house or you want to do an investment, then we take that.
Okay.
But it's Biz Credit Build essentially is a platform where we educate you and we don't skip steps. If something is done wrong, we ethically go back and fix it.
Right.
There is no rushing through this. We don't do, oh, we're going to go buy a whole bunch of trade lines because we're not so pressed to have a seat at the table that we take any interest rate. We are in alignment with the principle, financial principles of Christ. We're not meant to be in debt. The purpose and premise of my program is to help entrepreneurs build business credit the right way.
Right.
We also have a Facebook group where every Wednesday I go into details for free about how to build business credit the right way. I give drop lots of jewels. No PG business credit cards. I tell you how to ethically raise your business credit score.
Right.
I'm getting into the meat and potatoes. I also have a YouTube where I go and again teach. It's a teaching platform. People come to me and they often think that, oh, can you do this for me? No. I'm holding your hand. I need you to learn because I need you to maintain it once you graduate from my program.
Right. And you know what? I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you kept emphasizing that you educate us on how to build business credit the right way or the ethical way, because I think when people hear credit program, they immediately assume it's one of those quick fix programs that promise you to remove this inquiry or delete these inquiries from your credit report and, you know, different things like that. And your program is not that at all. And so, you know, and I know to hear that, you know, when someone comes to you and you said it, you're taking them through a step-by-step process that they have to actually work themselves. So in other words, you assist them with building their business credit the legal way. This is exact, that's, I had those in my notes. So look here.
Yes. Because it's what we take, what I take away, what I have found, right? When I started business, I did the I do it for you. And then you come back 4 or 5 months later, like, oh, this is all messed up. And I'm like, okay. So for me, it's important that, you know, I teach you.
Mm-hmm.
Each one teach one so that you can do this for other businesses.
Right.
So that you can take your child and be like, listen, I know. Or you could take your friend and say, oh, I know. Or you should do this. Because, like, we do ourselves a disservice by just not knowing and not educating ourselves.
We're right.
Especially our communities, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're used to that quick fix.
Right.
Looking for that quick fix. I'm not it.
Right. And yeah, that's I think we need to understand that, right? We just have to, especially if you're a business owner, you want to be doing things the legal and ethical way. And, you know, and you want to go to somebody that's going to do it the legal and ethical way.
So, listen, I don't play with them people. I'm a certified lender through the SBA. Like, mm-hmm. I have outside broker agreements with all of these lending institutions. Mm-hmm. I am registered with the MLS. So I have to do background checks and all of those things. So it's important for me that I am moving ethically, right?
Because
I take your personal information very seriously. And exactly. For me, you are a representation of me if you've worked with me.
Right. That's a good way to put it. And so I'm going to ask you this because I don't think most people know this. What is business credit?
So business credit allows a company to borrow money that can be used to purchase products and services in their business name that is not tied to your personal social security.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
It is based on the trust or your credibility that payments will be made in the future. Mm-hmm. And gives you access to cash and credit as a lifeline for the business. Business credit also allows companies to borrow money that can be used to invest in things and continue to be operational. So there is a million ways to get business credit, mm-hmm. but there are 8 main steps to do it. You need to incorporate your business, have an EIN, okay. have a business bank account, establish a business phone number, open a business credit profile with DUNS, mm-hmm. and then you start establishing vendor lines of credits,
okay.
paying business credit cards, and you pay your bills on time. That's how it ultimately works.
Okay. Awesome. Now, I'm going to say this. I think that, I guess, why do we overlook this area as business owners?
Because it's hard. Because it's hard. It's always easier to swipe your personal card. Mm-hmm. And for me, our community, mm-hmm. and I say our community because, you know, when you're dealing with minority businesses, and 90% of my clients start off as minority businesses, and then mm-hmm. 10% of them grow on to be large businesses.
Okay.
So 90% of us are scared.
Wow.
Scared of denial. Scared that they're not going to be approved.
Mm-hmm. I can
just
believe.
Don't know the process.
Right. And this is what I notated. And I'm going to say, I have to honestly say that, you know, with as much research that I did with my business, you know, just trying to do my due diligence, this was pretty much out of sight, out of mind for me. In fact, I remember these were my exact words. You know, I don't need a loan. I can use my personal savings, you know. And it was like 4 years in, I'm like, maybe I do need a business loan. But even still, the building the credit, business credit, was never a thought to me. But it's like, I need this loan. Didn't even think that, okay, I needed to build business credit. And then the other component to that is my business plan. Didn't have a business plan. I have one now. But it seems like those are the things that, you know, we kind of like and you said it, I don't think we overlook it. It's just that we don't know. And
we,
so because
we do what we call bootstrapping, right? We do what we got to do mm-hmm. to untrain ourselves. Because
right.
We, as women, especially, we do what we have to do.
Right.
And oftentimes, you know, self-funding leverages using your own financial resources to support your business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can always turn to your friends and your family for capital, or using your saving accounts, or even tapping into your 401k or your assets, right? But a lot mm-hmm. of us don't have those things.
That's true.
That's not what we come from.
That is so...
So listen, so, you know, most people who have established business credit don't need to ask for money, right? But when they start, the first thing they say is like, hey, I need startup funding. The first thing that I ask is, okay, do you have any collateral, things we can borrow against?
Mm-hmm.
How much do you have vested into your life insurance plan? You know, self-funding helps you retain complete control over your business, but you're taking a huge risk on yourself.
Right.
And because you're taking a huge risk on yourself, nobody suffers but you and your family.
That's true.
And then guess what? You start to spend more than you can afford.
That is true.
You don't want to face those expensive fees or penalties or damage your personal credit because you have to have a life outside of your business.
Right. So let me ask you this. Would that be still be considered commingling?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
The commingling of the funds, and then you go see the tax lady or one of my CPAs and they're going to be like, oh no, oh no. Like, I mean, and it's done unintentional, right?
Mm-hmm. So
if we know better, then we do better, right?
That's true.
So you're one of many people who essentially do the same thing. So don't feel like, you know, you have, this is all me. Don't blame yourself. Like,
right.
You know, oftentimes we are not taught even the business financial literacy part, right?
Right.
So the business financial literacy part is, hey, let me establish myself by first obtaining a business address, not a personal address, not all of those things. And I mean, there are areas where you could do, but then let me have a plan, right? Once I have that plan, then when I go to launch my business, right, I need to calculate startup costs.
Right.
I need to establish business credit, right? I need to have a plan around how we're going to operate, who we're going to operate, what's going to be my, you know, how I'm going to market this product, who's going to be my target audience. Like, all of those things are completely skipped.
Right, right.
And you just, I see people all the time celebrating, I got my LLC, but does an LLC serve you?
Right.
You filed your taxes in 5 years. No, let's be honest. Like, they filed your taxes in 5 years, sis. With that comes a different responsibility. There were so many people that I had to turn away from SBA funding because they just were not operating right. Or then it comes to the, all right, are you willing to fix this?
Right.
Because
everything
points to you make money.
Yes.
But you ain't say not once, let me open up a tax savings account. And when I get paid, transfer 3-6% of whatever I made, because that's not your money.
Right. You know what? I think with the pandemic, there's been like an increase in new businesses, but I'm wondering how many of those new businesses are operating legally? Like you said, you know.
Not a lot. Unfortunately, the staying compliant part, right? Because, you know, that's not anything that we are taught, but, you know, people are so pressed to say they have a business because
they
obtain these funds, but to stay legally compliant, you need to have paperwork, pay taxes to the federal and state government.
Right.
To do record keeping. You need to, you know, if you ever, the premise or purpose of having a business is to sell it eventually.
Right.
The intent is not to keep this family business for 30 years. The intent is to make your business viable when you go to sell it.
Wow.
And for you not to have any legal ties to your business. Because you don't ever want someone to sue your business for your personal assets to be attached to that.
Right, right, right. That is so true. So, which brings me to my, right, being registered with the Secretary of State. I mean, that's so important, not just because, you know, your personal assets is not going to be, I guess, attached to any lawsuits, but I think, like you mentioned, that's just
Before even that, like, knowing that there are different requirements mm-hmm. on your business structure.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
as a sole proprietor, there are requirements. And most people, I ran into that tax season. You know, I have so many of my clients now that are filing their taxes, and they were single member LLCs.
Mm-hmm.
But they had employees. How, sis?
Wow, that's interesting. That's why it's
right, you don't know, but no one's ever brought that to their attention.
Wow.
So having to go back and contact the IRS and like knowing that, you know, if you change your business structure, you go right. from a sole proprietor to an LLC, you need a new EIN.
Right.
Like
right.
the education piece, educating yourself in the sense like, you know, and hiring professionals to help and mm-hmm. advise you, because you don't know better. If we knew better, then we do better.
Right, but that is true.
So I had this EIN for 30 years.
That is true.
You're not operating like it. You're supposed to have a different EIN. So, and the being transparent, working with people who are really willing to do the work and to maintain and are okay with you educating it. They're not taking
mm-hmm. it personal. Right, right, and yeah. Oh my God, it's just so much on, I mean, that we, is this so much that we don't even know, we don't even understand. And so this is what my next question is. You know, why is it so important to using an expert, a credit expert, any expert like yourself, you know? What are the benefits? And I think people need to know the benefits of using someone like you.
So I think the benefits are saving time and money, right?
Like right.
we all have busy lives, but mm-hmm. oftentimes we don't hold ourselves accountable. So what happens is that we say we're gonna do things and we don't. And
right.
that there are ongoing state and federal filing requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is a disservice when we don't do an annual report or biannual statement
mm-hmm.
on the state website. And then when we go to open up a bank account or something, it says, sis, you in bad standing.
Right.
Or, I mean, I have people who have come to me and think they have a business and their business been forfeited because you filed, but you never did anything else every year or every six
mm-hmm.
months. And then franchise tax or like, if you are a franchise, you need to be paying separate taxes. If you mm-hmm. sell any type of product, you should have a vendor license.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be paying vendor tax.
Right.
State. Like
right.
things like sis, get it together. You cannot have an online store and be merchandising from people and wholesaling and doing whatever you're doing. I don't care if it's a t-shirt, a book, or anything. And
right.
I mean, you are selling something.
Right, right.
So you should be, I mean, it's a very simple one-page application in every state, but you need to file it.
Mm-hmm.
Reports, keeping your articles amended. Like if your company went through any changes, like
right.
changes, new shareholders, memberships, you need to report that annually. And then on the federal side, you know, the IRS needs to be updated too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, knowing that if you do anything in agriculture, there's licenses. If you sell alcoholic beverages, there's licenses. Aviation, like any transportation and logistics, like all of those things have licensing.
Right, right.
And if you want to stay current with your state, then you need to apply for them. Very easy.
Right, right. I recently changed my business name, and so of course, you know, I had to reach out to the Secretary of State to amend my articles of organization because I had a name change.
And then you need to,
you know, and
Anybody else that you have an account with,
I got it.
You go contact them. I mean, we should essentially have a file that keeps all of this. I have a book, call it my little Bible, for each of my businesses. And in like when I say any account that I have, any account number, any address that I've ever used, it's all in there. And I mean, like, because when you go to do business, you should be able to grab your book and, okay, this is what you need, this is what you need.
Right, right, right. So now, when someone comes to you, what are some of the things, do they have to, what are some of the things that they have to have in place? Or
nothing.
Okay.
I'd rather you not have anything in place.
Okay.
I do a business credibility, checklist with you, and I essentially, right off the bat, evaluate to see if you have a score versus not having a score, what things you need to change. There are about 40 points that Dun & Bradstreet that go into your Paydex score. There are about 20 points on the credibility side when you are looking to get your score popped by Experian Business. So all of those things, you know, one of my, me, myself, or one of my employees goes over with you and gives you a whole bunch of to-dos. And then we give you access to our learning platform. And you meet with us on a monthly basis to go over essentially just that.
Right.
What can we do to help you?
Okay. So now that Dun & Bradstreet is the credit bureau for businesses.
Yes.
Okay.
So they are essentially a credit reporting agency, like your regular credit reporting agency.
Okay.
They collect your business information.
Okay. And so now that process, I guess, as far as collecting your business information, it really doesn't start unless you actually tap into vendors that report to Dun & Bradstreet.
Once you get a DUNS number, I mean, there are a whole bunch of things, but when we go through your business credibility checklist, there are essentially a list of things that you have to do and have in order for someone to see you as a credible or viable business.
Okay.
So for me, although Dun & Bradstreet, you know, is a global company that provides business intelligence products to clients who would say an analytics software. Their job is to collect information.
Okay.
So when you go to apply with the Secretary of State, or when you go to apply with the IRS for EIN, and when you go to apply for a bank account or a vendor, they collect that information. And if it's accurate, it reports to there. So if you don't have accurate information on your report, then it's going to take longer for you to establish a score.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. So,
And I'm going to point out that DUNS numbers are free.
Oh, well, you know, I have one. So, yeah, it's free.
I've had some people saying, I paid $200 for my... No, sis.
Oh, wow.
Get your money back, yeah.
Wow, yeah, it is free. I do have that. So I'm aware that it is free. So let me ask you, I get what would be the best advice? What was the best advice you've received that you think every business owner needs to know?
So the first thing is to keep good record keeping.
Okay.
Definitely. People always go back and fix things, but it's very hard to do that if you don't even know what's going on.
That's true. Business.
You pay somebody to essentially help you, and then you put the paperwork somewhere and you forget totally about it and start building, and you find out like, oh God, if this wrong address won't come off of here. And you're like, okay, what vendor did I give this to?
Right.
I have a bank account with this address to. Like, the key to getting business credit approvals is accuracy. So you want to make sure that your business credibility is based on the accuracy of your profile. So if there are inaccuracies there, you're going to look not credible. And if it's going to affect your approval and your recommended lending amount. And all of those things tie in together. So when you are looking to build business credit, sometimes it makes it for being very difficult because you essentially, you can't control how other people, when you apply for something, if you can't control them pulling your file if you apply for something, what you mm-hmm. can control is what they see when they pull that
right,
business.
Right. Okay, so let me ask you this. Like I mentioned earlier that I did a name change, and so with the name change, with the original name, so does the original name, is the original name still tied to my credit profile? Because like I said, I do have a DUNS number.
Yes.
Okay.
So what you need to do is you need to get on to Dun & Bradstreet, create a profile, and upload that new information that essentially says that you did a name change.
Mm-hmm.
What it's going to do is they're going to ask for proof from the state, and you can essentially fax that to them or upload it to them, and in the form of a dispute and an update, and gladly do it to you. What you don't want to do is not tell them, because what happens many times is that it creates a duplicate profile, and then some of your accounts are reporting over here, and then some of your accounts are reporting over there, and it takes longer to build your score.
Right. Okay.
So there are BIN numbers attached to your profile. That BIN number essentially is your file number with them, and you don't want to have a duplicate BIN number.
Gotcha. Now, I was reading something, and is it true, like, for example, for personal credit, you have to give a company permission to pull, but when it comes to your business credit, anybody can see that, anybody can pull that. Is that true?
But no one can do anything without your permission.
Okay.
But keep in mind that your Dun & Bradstreet profile mm-hmm. is open to the public.
Gotcha.
So someone can essentially search your business on Dun & Bradstreet.
Uh-huh.
It's going to give them basic information on you.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So now what are some of the common mistakes you have seen in business that business owners make? You know,
one of the most common mistakes is getting a P.O. box or an iPostal address where it is a mailbox because they flag that right away.
Okay.
Another one is using their personal cell phones as a business number. Those are two big red flags that will get mm-hmm. your file denied. Keep in mind when you're going through the underwriting process or you're essentially applying for a line of credit, most times they're going to call you immediately
mm-hmm.
to verify that you are indeed a business. It's what underwriting does.
Right.
And, you can avoid some of those things by having a landline that's in your business name, or even get a voice over IP address where it's on your phone, but someone is always at that number.
Gotcha. A voice over IP address. Okay. All right. I'm learning something myself.
Well, Freedom Voice is one that I use a lot. You can put an app on your phone, and it rings differently. And whenever someone calls my business, it goes to that line. A lot of people aren't aware that through your domain, I know GoDaddy has phone numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But the premise is that you're separating it, and everything should be under your business name and not your personal name.
Right. Okay. Now, give me that name of the
Sure. It's Freedom Voice.
Oh, Freedom Voice. Okay, so you know
what? $9.99 a month.
Yes, that's what my husband uses.
Yep.
And then
you can put the app on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And when somebody calls you in relations to business, you can separate it. You know this is a business call.
Right. And then I actually have a line through GoDaddy.
Okay.
So
they offer it too. So that's fine too, as long as that account is in your business name.
Right. Okay. So I think I'm doing okay.
You're doing okay. Right. But listen, most people that come to me, no one ever has it all the way together. So
right.
I want that to be the premise of
right.
you to get that notion.
Right. Because you don't want people to be afraid to come.
No perfect people allowed, okay?
Yeah. I like that. So speaking of addresses, I remember you mentioning something about a virtual address.
Yep. So we talk about the thing about virtual addresses is that it's a no-no if it points to it being just that. Whether you like it or not, it's tied. You don't want to use your personal address on most people, even when they file their articles of organization and they get their EIN, they put their personal address on it, which is a big no-no.
Right.
So that's why I always say get your address first. Then, but that's public information. I can look up any business with the Secretary of State and it's going to show that information, and you don't want people to know where you live at.
That is true.
So the importance of keeping your personal information off of everything, including those personal legal documents.
Right, right.
So, and I'm not against virtual addresses as long as it doesn't say post office or iPostal or mail center. Yeah, because there's analytic software that essentially scans that address and could tell them immediately if you're tied to a post office box.
Gotcha. Where,
and they essentially will deny some of your accounts or even flag you.
Wow. Okay. So we know that your program is not a quick fix. However, is there such a thing as, you know, I guess building your business credit within a specific period of time? I mean,
Yeah. So your business credit is what you put into it. So most people come to me and in 60 to 90 days, they have over 100K in business credit.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on you doing the work. Business credit, what you put into it.
Okay.
So essentially, you know, there is never a guarantee. Like I literally am, if you're working to change the things that I tell you to change and my team and you're on time to do these things, like what I say, it could go very, very fast.
Right.
Now, you sitting on it, you only open up our platform once a month and put it in 20 minutes, it's going to take longer for you to build your profile.
Right. Okay. Now,
and I want to say, like, we do offer, you know, do it, we'll do everything for you platforms, but it starts at $7,000 to $8,000. Who wants to do that? I try to keep my program super affordable.
Right.
The program is $14.95, and literally, you're not going to get all of this for that.
Right. I see what you're saying.
Most now, programs, even Credit Suite and all of those like major programs, they start at $2,400 to $3,500. I mean, you're getting customer service to 7 p.m. Central Time. You're getting 24-hour email response. I mean, like, type of things you're not going to get with those other programs. So for me, the controlling the cost, because I want this to be affordable to people in our community.
Right, right.
But you have to do the work, right?
You have to do the work. Exactly. So now explain to me, because you mentioned something about 100K. What exactly is that? I mean,
So for me, anywhere between 80 to 100K. So with my platform, we start off with vendor tier one credit, and then we move to tier two credit, and then we move to credit cards, and then we move. So the faster that you business credit is built, your business credit scores are built on your payment experiences.
Okay.
So if you have 6 to 7 accounts, see, I do it very aggressively, right? And I want people to understand that business credit is an investment. So this is not something, if you don't have any money, if you just wasted all your money on my program, I'm going to give it back to you and say, like, listen, this is a commitment
that
you
pay
monthly. So, like, for me, I'm going to need you to make purchases on a monthly basis for you to build your business credit. You got my platform, I'm educating you, but it doesn't include your accounts and what you purchase or anything like that. So business credit scores are built on specifically your business payment experiences. So you have to make purchases. So if you have anywhere between 5 to 7 accounts, right? Tier one accounts, when you first start off with me, I need you to purchase from them accounts 3 times in a monthly period.
Okay.
So that means that you're spending $50 to $75 on 5 to 7 accounts.
Okay.
Times 3 times.
Right, I see.
But in 45 days, you'll have your business credit scores.
Okay, okay.
I'm giving you gains. So for me, it's if you can only afford to purchase from 3 to 5 accounts, it's going to take you maybe 45 to 60 days to get your
score. Okay.
Your credit score pops. Your Paydex and your Experian business and your risk score pops when your Equifax risk score pops when you have anywhere between 12 to 13 payment experiences.
Gotcha.
So the faster that you purchase and buy, purchase, pay off, purchase, pay off, each one of those is a payment experience.
Gotcha. Okay, okay. So let me ask you this. You know, I have the retail license because of what I do. And so I purchase from these vendors, but how do I know if these vendors are reporting?
So I'm very big on, listen, sis, this is not about just getting any type of account.
Mm-hmm.
So the important thing about reporting business credit is that we don't just get accounts just to say we have accounts. If they don't report, we don't want them.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
So when you going to look at a vendor, my recommendation to you is to check to see if they report.
Okay.
Because if they don't report, then you don't need them.
Okay.
That's the premise of building business credit, not being cute to order off Amazon and none of that. Like, that is not
how right. Right. That is true. Yeah, because a lot of the vendors that I do use, you know, they're in California. I have, you know, I'm on the wholesale platforms. You know, they have all of my
you need to get a documentation. Business credit card, right? That supports, and then you can purchase from those platforms.
Okay.
But there are ways around that. But I mean, there are vendors too that report. So for me, even getting your packaging, but like, I would ask them, do they report? Because you can generally report those accounts too, but you have to at least have, you know, they have to be in agreement to it.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. That's good information. Yeah. I mean, I'm praying that
I got you.
Reports, because I don't know. I spent tons of money with these people, and so
right. But I mean, just those are things that, you know, we aren't taught to ask. Like, hey, do you report?
That is so true. The education, I mean, as you continue to talk, you know, you're right. We have to be educated because...
And it's not on purpose. We just, we don't know.
Right, right. It's just so much.
That's why the each one, teach one is so important because most times people do not, you know, they don't know about any of this.
Right.
To this. So for us, we just... are doing what we're taught to do.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, which brings me to something that I shared with my daughter. And like I told her, you know, I have a 21-year-old and a 24-year-old. The 24-year-old, you know, she's she started this catering business. And you know, like I tell her, anything that I learn, I'm gonna pass on to you guys. Because
that's right, each one teach one. That's why I said the importance of like, hey, maybe you wanna do this, but let's do this as a family.
Right, exactly. Because, you know, that is really my ultimate goal for us to be, you know, to do this as a family and for us to, you know, be able to help someone else, you know, just live their dreams out loud, you know?
And be in support of that because that's not what we had. So the changing the narrative, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or when you first started in this business, there was no one to help you and hold you.
Yes.
But we don't want our children and our children's children to have to do that. So the importance to take time, taking the time out to be like, look, sis, like, I need you to apply for this group. I need you to do this. I need you to do that because the more that we don't do that, the longer it takes for us to progress as a people. It just wouldn't.
Right. Happen. Right. That is so true. I mean, this is such a topic. I mean, I think we can go on and on and on with this topic. I mean, we can definitely go on and on. But I'm going to switch gears because, of course,
you know, I gotta get some fashion detail on you because I've been checking you out. I've been checking you out. And so I just, you know, nothing fancy, you know, but I wanted to just, you know, get your take, you know, what is your favorite color and why is that your favorite color?
Okay, so red is my color.
Okay.
And
okay.
Yes, so you'll see me with it. I have red everything. I have maybe 10 pair of red shoes. Like I definitely love the color red, and I wear the color red in remembrance of my dad.
Okay.
But not only that, there is the meaning of red. And when most people see me wearing red, right, all the time, mm-hmm. They oftentimes don't realize that they're asking me, but it's something that I get asked on a regular basis. But the meaning of red, the color red, could be so many things.
Mm-hmm.
But the significance of me is super important. It's associated with energy, passion, and love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also the representation of blood, power.
Wow.
And you know, for me, when I started my journey in changing, I was very, it represented what I wanted to represent.
Right.
Courage, the love, religion, like
right.
all of those things. And for me, the having passion about what I do, having energy and excitement about what I do,
mm-hmm.
for me, it just spoke so highly. And it's something that I've been wearing for over 12 years on a regular basis. And you can guarantee when you see me, I will mm-hmm. always have it on. On me is red.
And you know, I asked that question because oftentimes, you know, we have favorite colors and we don't know why. We just like it.
Uh-huh.
And I love how you, you know, break it down, because like you said, red represents what you want it to represent, or what you want to represent, which is the power, which is love, which is courage, which is energy and passion. And I think, you know, if we look at it in that sense,
I want to encourage more people to wear it. I feel like enough people don't wear it. And for me, it was my coping mechanism, even at
mm-hmm.
work. When they saw red, I want you to think of me.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, literally, I wanted to leave an imprint. When you speak to me, when I speak to you, if we ever touch paths, like I wanted to leave a lasting impression. I want, I don't want you to only remember my story, but I want you to remember the impact that my story had on your life. And it's only through God. So for me, like, even when I'm in Bender, I give out red books. Everything is red. And me and Charlena laugh about that a lot, because I used her from branding, and she was just like, I was like, do your thing with my brand. And mm-hmm. when she came back with everything red. I was like, oh, this is perfect.
Wow. That is amazing. That is amazing. And that, I mean, coping mechanism. That's good.
Like, for me, it was my crutch. Like, I felt better when I had that color on.
Mm-hmm.
Just it was a reminder of myself. In Spanish, we said, "Se mi valor," but it reminded me of the valor and the courage that I had when I was walking into a room, because
right.
I oftentimes identified myself with needing certain credentials, with
mm-hmm.
having to have a certain educational background. And it was
right.
my way of masking that. Like, oh no, like I have on red, I'm walking in this room. Can't nobody tell me nothing. I'm gonna get what I need to get and what God's
right.
to get. And it just, it brought out a different side of me.
Right, that's good, because I think, you know, when I started this podcast, like, as a spinoff of the boutique, but I wanted to go beyond style. And I just felt like people needed to know, there's a connection to
style, our fashion, and confidence. And so I wanted to, you know, just build more on a person's confidence, because the two does actually connect. Because like they say, when you look good, you feel good, or you do good, you do better. And so that's pretty much the same thing as like the color red, what it does for you. It, you know, it boosts your confidence.
And it makes you just feel better that you meet people and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So my next question to you is, what are three things that you have to have in your closet?
Okay. So I love a good knee. I don't care what I'm doing. I have them in red. I have them in pink. I have, like, listen, a good pair of knee boots is a must.
Sounds like you like color too.
Yes, I will. Listen, I love color. The second thing is a good t-shirt. Like, I am addicted to t-shirts, like t-shirts with sayings that are meaning. Like, I had one on yesterday that said CEO. And I like to support different brands. So if you have some t-shirts, send them to me. I definitely will send me an invoice. Like, I love a good shirt. I'm a little tired of me. So like for me, a good stretchy, comfortable tee that I could throw on with a pair of jeans that have an impactful message all day long.
Right. Yeah.
Like with a pair of jeans, I could dress it up. I could put some heels on. Mm-hmm. I could put a jacket over it. Like a good stretchy like tee with something meaningful on it.
Right. That's good. And you know what that is? I'm not going to say that's ironic, because my next question was going to be, do you have like a favorite fashion hack? And you pretty much just said,
that is it. Listen, yes. I'm thinking of a t-shirt. Listen, I throw them under. I have a good 20 to 30 like tees, and I literally, I always wear my brand everywhere, but like literally I love a good tee. And then I always, it's just something that I do. If I buy a t-shirt from you, I'm like, make sure that you give me your contact information so I can shout you out on my page.
Right.
It's always like, this is where I got it from. Because I have so many people, especially when I wear them in my lives, like, where you get that shirt from? Where you get that shirt from? I definitely have to have a tee. And then the third thing would be just a good pair of earrings.
Okay.
You could bring a whole outfit together with a good pair of earrings.
That is true. Accessories.
Yes.
It does make a difference. Wow. This, you know, I feel like, you know, we were in the spirit, because a lot of the things that we kind of like talked about, you know, even I had it notated, or you mentioned something.
Oh, look at God.
You know?
I definitely always pray before I come on a podcast, because like for me, it's about preparing the room for who's going to hear this. And for me, again, the impactfulness, like you're doing this with a purpose and a reason. And it was an honor for you to ask me to come on.
Absolutely.
The hope is that, you know, everybody gets something from it, and that, you know, this is not the last podcast. I go part two or three.
This is not the last podcast. No, I have to definitely, no, you will be back on.
Yes, and when I go to South Carolina on a regular basis, I'm going to come and be like, where you at, girl?
Okay. Okay. Well, Miss Sarah, I tell you what, this has been great. And like I said, I would love to have you back, because there's just so much that needs to be talked about. You know, it's like you keep emphasizing in our community, educating the people in our communities, because we just don't know. And when you know, we should do better. And so I appreciate so very much that you took some time out of your schedule.
We have to do this more often. Like for me, especially someone from your platform, it's important that we support each other.
Exactly.
And it has to be genuine. And for me, it definitely, the message has to get out there. Like, listen, it's okay to tell people you know, you were broken. Everyone has a story. Like,
right.
Like, don't keep it to yourself. Like,
right.
You know, share your story with people because for me, it, you know, it has changed my life that even obedient to God to touch my life. So for me, I always have to be obedient to Him.
Right. Right. I just, this just came to mind. I was in Starbucks, you know, the drive-thru, and I got to the window, and the guy said, you know, the person in front of you paid for your, you know, your, and I'm like, oh my goodness, and I was just so excited, I just literally drove off, and I'm like, oh, oh no, I can't do this. So I turned around, I went into Starbucks, and I said, listen, I said, the person that was in front of me, I was in the drive-thru, they paid for my food, so I want to do it for someone else because I'm like, you know, and that's what it's about. It's about, you know, paying it forward, just, and not even so much paying it forward, just helping people.
Yeah.
Helping people, you know, because God didn't give us the businesses to keep to ourselves. He didn't give us these stories, these adversities that we go through to keep it to ourselves. It's for us to help someone else.
Mm-hmm. And the being obedient to the Spirit of God.
That's true.
Listen, there are so many people that, like, literally sowing into somebody doesn't necessarily mean monetarily. It could be within a word.
Mm-hmm.
It could be within just being nice, being helpful.
Right.
Serving. Because a lot of us, like, for me, I'm serving you. And it's a pleasure because, like, literally what you're doing on your platform, educating people and bringing to light certain things, not everybody, you know, knows about. So for me, all of those things are important, but
right.
Like if God touches your heart and tells you to do something, be obedient.
Be obedient. Be obedient. Exactly. That's the key. That's the answer. Be obedient. So once again, Ms. Sarah, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you for having me. I'm sure I'll see you again.
Yes, ma'am.
South Carolina, tune in, right?
Yes. Yes, we have to. We have to.
Yeah, and okay. Join my free business credit group, Biz Credit Builds. BIZ Credit Builds. It's free and I give out so much free information.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely I look forward to seeing y'all when I get back to the Carolinas, but yeah, tune in.
Yes, and you know what, I almost forgot. Tell us how we can connect with you online, you know.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
So on Instagram I'm Biz Credit Builds Official. I also have my personal page, which is I Am Sarah Sebastro. And on Facebook is I Am Sarah Sebastro or Biz Credit Builds. So yeah, definitely follow me. I follow back, I promise. And I always have so many things going on my page, free information that is very helpful to business.
Mm-hmm.
So like, definitely tune in.
Yes. Well, thank you, Ms. Sarah. Guys, I need you to go over to her social media pages and start following her and just reach out to her. As she said, you know, there's a lot of free information, but more importantly, you know, if you have a business, we want you to reach out to Ms. Sebastro so that, you know, we can get these businesses growing and eventually, you know, sell them, like she said.
Yeah,
sell
them. Let me help you.
Yes. So again, Ms. Sarah, thank you so much. Until next time. This is Donna M. with Donna M. Collection Lifestyle Brand. Thank you, as always, for listening to Fashion Unfiltered. You can listen to our episodes on Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Please like, follow, and share. You can also follow the boutique on Instagram and Facebook at Donna M. Collection. Subscribe and shop the boutique at DonnaMCollection.shop or stop by our physical location at 946 C2 Orleans Road, Charleston, South Carolina. Until next time.